Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
So, hey, this is episode 053 of the Daughter of Godcast. And my name is Dan Kelly, and this is Ndon Esinga.
Ndon Esinga, definitely. I don't know where I have to look.
Whatever you want. You can look there, or you can look over there, or you can look at me, because I'm pretty.
You definitely pretty. Me too. Yeah, so definitely Ndon Esinga. Don't do that. So pronounce it like don't do that, and Esinga.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Ndon.
Ndon, one syllable. One shot.
Bam. Mm-hmm.
On the cover right now, but we're somewhere in the United States. In the north of the United States.
In an undisclosed location.
Totally. Nice, but yeah, you don't have to know where we are.
Yeah, it's better that you don't.
Who I am, I'm a musician from Central Africa, who is kind of a weird species. I'm a rapper, I'm a producer, I'm a beat maker, and I'm a multi-instrumentalist, so I play a couple of instruments, including guitar, bass guitar, keyboards, keys, drums, Western drums, Central African traditional drums, and a bunch of other Central African traditional instruments. Songwriting too, and a couple of other stuff that I do, but that's pretty much what I am.
You've got a couple different languages that you're rapping in?
Definitely. So when I rap, definitely, I mostly rap in French or broken French. I try to don't use too much slang. And I'm mixing that with my language, it's called Fang, Ekang. Which is we are big people, you know, spread out in 5 countries in Central Africa, including Gabon, Cameroon, Congo, Equatorial Guinea. So I mix both of them. I don't rap in English. I'm barely speaking English, so it's a huge effort for me right now. But yeah, when it's time to rap, I'm rapping, yeah, mixing French, broken French, and Ekang for my language.
So you've got some collaborations you're doing right now, and mm-hmm. and you're getting ready to release some videos of these collaborations that you've done of your own work with other
definitely
rappers.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. Right now I'm definitely in full rap mode, so you know I got phases. Sometimes it's more production, sometimes it's more rapping. Yeah, I'm gonna release a video in few days. Avec ta gang et ton manque d'éthique, aucun respect pour tes salopatiques, autant d'écouter un pour qu'épique. Avec moi tu cailles du père et tu finis amer. Est-ce que c'est de ma faute vieux père? Ta mère t'avait dit d'être loyal à tes frères. Fallait l'écouter, fallait pas essayer de me péter. La loyauté, c'est ce qui différencie l'homme et le gibier. Allez, lève ton verre à ma résilience. C'est pas le 100 mètres à coq, c'est l'endurance. Which is a featuring with one of my friend and peer that I produced. Yeah, I'm definitely going to drop 3 projects, you know, personal project on my own music, which is a mix of Central African instruments live and hip-hop.
This is the Daughter of God cast. We're talking about the mm-hmm. making of the Daughter of God, and you and all were involved in that
yeah.
process. We met in 2005, do you think?
2005 or 5-6, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was living in Brooklyn, and you were living there too?
Definitely, but Crown Heights, Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to write a song for Daughter of God.
True.
And actually, I'd already written it, but I wanted to actually create it in a way that it actually would be people could listen to it without like gritting their teeth.
And definitely.
And so I asked you if you wanted to help, and you basically took my parts that I recorded and you arranged them.
Well, you come with the song. The song is basically the main line, so the main melody, guitar parts, some drums too. And my thing here was to arrange it, and after that, use the melody that it composed as a theme song to,
make them amazing.
Make them amazing, that's for sure. That's my job. But basically, I don't even have the word in other language in my head. Yeah, you have to know. Yeah, you have to know that I'm fresh out of my bed, no shower, so I'm kind of
A
little bit floating right now.
I didn't let him take a shower. I let him, primp a little bit in the bathroom, but that was about it.
Definitely. So basically, take the main melody and transform it, or
this kind of thing. This kind of smoothing it, polishing it.
And generally, people who don't have English as a first language would be good for that, but now I'm stuck. Like food, you take a piece of meat and you can do it Thai style, African style, East European style. So it's how, Hollywood movies are made. The composer composed the main melody, and you're going to have a part with only violins, a part with like more American or country style, a part with more funk, hip-hop, up-tempo. So that's what I did. I did a couple of versions of the main melody and sugarcoat them to make them audible.
Yeah, in the professional world of movie making, we call it make it so it doesn't suck.
And yeah, that's exactly. That's the professional vocabulary, the lingo for that.
And Dawn came to visit me, I think that was 2010.
Yeah, around that.
Yeah, 2010 or 2011, it might have been. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a while since he's even heard the work that he did for the project. Right now, on the tinny speakers of this laptop, I'm going to actually play it back for him. And for you guys listening, you'll be hearing it in full stereo sense around home theater audio. Dolby, Lucas, what's that called again? Yeah, whatever.
Dolby
all
surround
stuff.
Lucas.
All that system.
The global catastrophe came and went when all the blessed were taken in the rapture event. I guess that proves that praying to Jesus was time well spent. Well, for the rest of us sinners, the earth is all ours, but the phones aren't ringing, there's no gas in the cars. TVs are black and the government's gone, but at least we ain't got all those preachers carrying on. And you still get your haircut at the local solar-powered salon. Well, the water's much cleaner and the amphibians are back. Jet skis are finished and folks are less fat. People are trading their turnips and beets for herbal healing or a bottle of mead. Yeah. We still play music at the end of the week. Well, it looks like another fuck-up day in paradise.
It's been a long time.
So, now that you hear that, after not hearing, what comes up for you?
You always listen to music with two ears, the regular listener and the producer. When you just dissect is in English. Everything and get the little triangle that, hidden somewhere in the mix.
Yeah.
So I just, it's a nice song. What is funny is that at this time I wasn't speaking English. So now I just realize that I'm understanding more than I used to.
Nice.
And I might, arrange it another, produce it differently with maybe more into the lyrics. Now that's a nice piece of music. There was an auto tune at this time. So it's real vocals with little bit of magic sprinkle, but it's pretty raw. Yeah, no, it's funny. It's pretty. Yeah. I forget about the harmonic. This part, yeah. I forget who, what.
Okay, how. So just to remind you, okay, I can certainly play a little bit of the original tracks that I gave you. Super, super basic stuff.
The blessed were taken in the rapture event. Another fucked up day in paradise.
Basically what happened was a complete transformation of what I had created into this thing that actually is pretty freaking awesome. And it's funny, when I listened to this getting ready for the podcast, I was remembering how I have these, I was like really, really set. Mm-hmm. On making sure that I articulate the lyrics.
True.
Super clearly.
Yeah, you can hear that in the performance.
And you're like, it's like, pa, duh. Uh-huh. Are you happy with how it sounds for you? I mean, obviously, we listened to it on some crappy speakers.
I would remix it, but definitely. And when you get a glimpse of what's going on visually, too, it's not your regular Hollywood in a big box, wooden box, that there's nothing, you know, coming out and blah blah blah. So it needs to be a little bit edgy, or super edgy. The music needs to go with the pictures too. So if you go with something super polished, with a freaking, you know, 50 piece orchestra, it's not necessarily gonna fit with the whole mood of the movie.
No,
and folks, I didn't see the whole thing now, so you know, I'm just about the general atmosphere that come out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be edgy. It has to be non-perfect. It has to be. And it'll be, whoa, what the going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm satisfied with that, definitely.
Nice. When I met you, you had this whole sort of rap aesthetic and street thing.
Definitely.
And, you know, and there we were in Brooklyn. You were actually a pretty accomplished musician, which was not necessarily something that all rappers were back then.
And my path in life had never been in one direction, you know. I saw a lot of stuff, did a lot of things in my life. So, that's pretty rare that you see a dude who's a good rapper and a bass player at the same time, playing bass and rapping at the same time. Yeah, it's not common. But, you know, it's all about being yourself. And if you're yourself, you're going to visit some worlds who are not, and if you have the balls to do that. Because, you know, a lot of rappers are fronting and playing the tough guys, but you put them in the woods. And they're gonna freak out. Oh shit! So me, my path in life is not a straight path. So I went through a lot of direction and visits a lot of different worlds and on realms. So definitely, I can play music, I can play instruments, and I'm a truly hip hop head too, which is not common. Definitely.
Nice. You're doing all that now too, but you're also producing, and you really did produce this piece as well. You took some super basic instrumental. Parts, some singing, some guitar playing, some harmonica, and let me just say, at this point in my life, I mean, I've come a little ways with my musicianship, but I was still super rough. I mean, super rough back then. But you took all those basic lines, not only did you mix them, but you also added bass, and there's a whole flavor, a whole feeling that you added to it that was like completely transformed what I did.
Yeah, that's definitely the how. Production is a big word, a big umbrella for a lot of concept. You know? Puff Daddy is a producer who never touched a sample or a computer in his life. And you got people like me who are hands-on, where Quincy Jones is another type of dude who never touched a violin, but he's a really great horn player. And write the horn spot, so it's a whole palette of things. DJ Khaled, same thing, never did a beat in his life. So my type of producing is really hands-on. I play instruments that I produce.
Nice.
So when a producer, essentially what you sell or you give to the world is a vision.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who's playing on that, no matter who, whatever, who did what, but that's what you give. So basically the job is how I see it and how I think it is. If the musician, the creator, the composer, the writer have a vision, try to go with this vision and make it, put some flesh on the bones, And if the musician has no vision or lets you carte blanche to do what you want to do, create an all new world with some raw material. So it's a transformation process.
Assuming you have really good material to work with, do you enjoy producing, making your own work? What's the thing that really is kind of top? I mean, it changes over time, but like right now for you, what's the thing you want to do the most?
But now,
you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I just realized that I'm seasonal. For example, in Western Land, when you get winter and summer, which is not the case back home, when you got the rain season and the dry season, and some small. I'm more into rapping and writing lyrics during the summertime. For some reason, producing in fall and spring. And songwriting during the winter time might have something to do with the weather. In reality, I do everything at the same time, because every time I'm doing something, I'm working on several projects all the time at the same time. But no, there's nothing that I like most. It's really like food, When you can do it technically and you get the skills, I say, okay, today I'm gonna go for Thai food. I'm gonna go for some West African food, and tomorrow, some Jamaican or Nepalese food. So when you're a foodie, you really enjoy every type of food. You know what I mean? So that's how I visualize all the profession inside the music world. I like writing, but I like producing too. I like doing everything from scratch for me or from other people, songwriting or rapping. I like, grabbing raw material and transform it to something totally different. So I don't have no preferences.
It's
definitely all good, and I just go with what I feel, and after that, it's a profession, so deadlines, budget, whatever, comes really professionally. But because you eat too much of that food, so say, let me do something else. But love is equally shared between, for me at least, for everything I do musically.
Nice. Listening to that piece, I think it was wrapped up in 2006 or 7. You definitely hear things that you would actually do a little differently.
Yeah, definitely, because it's like, hopefully you progress and you're becoming better. Especially sound engineering is something that you get over time. It's your ears are growing up if you don't destroy them. Your ears, even today when you get an 18 years old artist, most of the time the producer is 30, 40. Mm. The mix engineer gonna be 40 to 60 years old, and the mastering engineer too. So it's a profession when you need to learn, and your body need to adapt to. My ears wasn't the same at this time that they are now. I get more subtle details besides the technical skills, of course, increase too. So you hear stuff differently. So you want, adapt, update, change that. But as a producer too, it's not really important. It's more about, did I nail the artist's vision? Or in that case, because it's special work with pictures, moving images, does that match to the picture? Do I add to the atmosphere, to the mood of the picture?
Yeah,
that's the most important. That's a special job. It's not definitely not a regular production job. When you think about maybe video at the end, but here it's a collab with visual and audio material that you try to mix together. So yeah, there's some stuff I would change, but it depends on visually, how the movie expand and how it is right now. Maybe no.
Yeah.
Or maybe just fine.
So. And I think, to just kind of give people a little more idea of what I was asking you to do, is at the time I had just come away from playing in a Cajun band, and I was playing percussion, and it was basically there was this one rhythm that I knew how to do, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna make this song go to that Cajun rhythm.
Yeah, definitely, it was fine. I remember now, I remember a little bit more stuff that I say, yo, that's definitely not my world, but I like challenge, and I produce a punk song, a couple, I'm really from hip hop, a true hip hop head from, and but I'm not afraid. And again, it's like food. I would love to produce a gypsy, an East European gypsy song or EP. Or so when you come with that, I say, okay, wow, challenge. I never work on I know the instruments, I know how to play brushes, and I play drums. But it was a really interesting and nice challenge to go outside of my realm. That's what I like, outside of my world, and try to add a little bit of me and make it something cohesive, homogenic.
Yeah, when I was doing this, I'm like, well, what do I have on hand? I have the ability to play some Cajun rip beat. Yeah. I can play a little guitar and I can sort of sing. That song I'd written a long time ago, but I want it fleshed out. So because I had done these beats, I decided to go with that. A slightly darker version of the Beverly Hillbillies theme.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. The poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
That was sort of vaguely in my mind. I'd never expected you to come up with what you did.
But when I work with people, you know, I work best when people give me carte blanche, say, yo, do whatever you want to do. So I say, you know, are you sure about that? I can add some crazy, you know, Bavarian from Germany, you know, harmony and shit, and say, yo, yeah, do it. I don't even know what you're talking about, but you know, I trust you. So when people trust me, it's definitely a good way for me to start a collaboration. I remember, about the song and the singing and everything, I never played this type of rhythm on bass. It was the first time, so it took me a minute just to adjust to that. But again, edgy was the thing. I never see, you know, Daughter of God as a regular copycat, you know, photocopy of something that was existing. So when you bring me that, I said, okay, let's go outside of the box to create something that people can relate to, but at the same time say, what the f- is that? I mean, if you really... I didn't listen to that since a long time.
Yeah.
But what I just picked up with some crappy speakers, you got some harmonica, you got some wah-wah guitars, some synthesizer, bass, type of Cajun country, but always Africanized because that's my roots. You got a lot of spice in there that you don't find at the same time in a song. So the shit was to me to make it palatable. So you say, oh, you're not going
to... To be compatible?
No, palatable.
Palatable.
So basically, if you mix banana and sage with some raw raccoon, that's my job. Try to make a dish with that. And my channel say, okay, yeah, I'm going to make a dish with that. You're not even going to know that it's raccoon, banana, and sage at the same time. But that's how I see producing, you know, put together. And that's really hip-hop, you know, put stuff who's not supposed to be together. And people say, oh, you just ate that. Oh, shit. Whoa, that was good. What do you put inside? No, you don't, you know. A very famous mix engineer and producer called Bob Power say hip-hop is like sausages. It's really tasty, but you don't want to know what's inside. And that's what I do with music. That's my job I'm in the kitchen. And when the dish is served, enjoy or don't enjoy, but I like that thing to make magic with what you get.
Nice. So I asked you to do a number of different side treatments. For Daughter of God, I didn't really want to have, like, music to let you know what emotions you're supposed to feel. And this was actually, it's funny because this was right before the golden age of television started up with, like, Dexter and these TV shows that were kind of like, and Breaking Bad. These TV shows, Dexter, I remember being on the subway and seeing Dexter advertised on subway posters. I'm like, what is that? Song from Dexter is like freaking awesome. That's a beautiful piece of music and otherworldly. Okay. But I didn't listen or watch Dexter until probably 8 years later. When we did this, I was thinking of this theme song kind of as like a situation comedy from television, but much darker and more edgy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I didn't even think about this till now, how much alike this is to a lot of the shows that are out and around now.
Yeah. For musicians, people mostly working for the ears and audio, even if right now, you know, you cannot even imagine music without a video. But it's really to create a world, be inspired by the pictures.
When you and I started working together, I think the first mixes came back in September of 2006.
Wow.
At that point, I had already shot the movie in April of 2006.
Okay.
So I had some scenes.
Yeah.
Do you remember, did I show you some scenes? And I don't really remember if I had a rough cut at that point. You tell me, do you remember?
No, you didn't have a rough cut, but I asked you to show me some. I didn't want to go blind, so I asked you. That was a special type of work, so did I saw that before I started or in between, I might have started something and say, yo, Dan, I need to see something. And they show me one scene. But I remembered, a couple of scenes, and I think I got, if you didn't change that much since then, and I tried to dig in my own memory,
just to jump in here, Endel hasn't seen anything of the movie recently, so it's been, again, that he just heard that theme from, last time he heard it might have been 2011, maybe. And so,
maybe
longer than that. And so, he hasn't seen anything in the movie since. So he's kind of flying blind right now.
Totally.
Just talking about memories, because for me, it's interesting for me to just kind of go back and drag back the memories without coloring it with the current stuff. So that's kind of why we're doing this.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing right now. But I think it was, if it wasn't before I started, in between during the whole, my work on this project, I asked you to see a couple of scenes, and I got, it was raw, edited, non-polished. But definitely, I remember that.
I was cutting the scene or putting this music to the initial opening scene. How well it synced with what was happening is like crazy.
Fantastic, when things like that happen, that's good.
The opening has some music, and then there's Act One, let's say, and there's no music in that, and then there's a sort of a intermission with music, and I wanted some incidental music for that intermission, and you came up. We took the stuff, again, the basic theme, and you scrambled it and stretched it and came up with this super cool, spooky, I mean, several versions of this, but the one that I really liked was this very spooky, ethereal.
Yeah. So yeah, you can find me basically. So yeah, project first, before all my advertising. Human advertising. More rap, definitely. Four songs are coming up, with me, friends, hip hop legends, surprises. We're doing what I do. So Central African instruments on top of hip hop. More production, working with artists around New York and elsewhere. Whoever is interested to go. Edgy, different. The thing for me is that you call me when you need something that other producer cannot do. If you are a heavy metal artist and you want to integrate some pygmies, vocalize, in your stuff, that's when you hit me. If you a pop artist and you want to be more edgy and rougher, hit me up. If you're doing opera, you're an opera singer and you want to investigate Tasmanian traditional drums, or a full piece orchestra made out of bones, hit me up. Crazy idea, I can take care of that. So more production with more people, definitely go outside of the hip-hop realm, working with funk, reggae, rock bands. And when I got time, which is not every day, I'm working on songwriting too, regular song, piano vocals, guitar vocals for artists. That's for my everyday occupations. Now, for the rap thing, go everything related to me, basically. Go to ndongesinga.com, ndongesinga, website. And, friend me on Facebook. Friend me, like my Facebook page. On every social network on earth, you can find me with the same name. Become my friend, my virtual friend. And people who want to work, you can find me. You know what I mean? Go on my website. Contact me, hit me up on Instagram, DM on Facebook. You can find me if you want to work on some projects. So definitely now it's music, but you know, if the movie is interesting, if the project is interesting, if it can be a live installation, let's talk about that. Propose it to me and, oh yeah, you need to have a budget. That's important.
So the other question is, what would be your dream project to take on, like, I mean, obviously you got your own stuff that you're doing, and that comes first, right? The stuff that's like really important to you, that you're, you know, that's your own work. Mm-hmm. But what would be like your dream collaborative project if it sort of showed up?
In what field?
In anything. You tell me. I mean, you're calling out to the universe now to bring you the best stuff. What would you like the universe to bring you?
Everything can make me grow. Right now. An interesting project with a pop band. I was out of pop music and didn't really like pop music those last 10 years. And I think that pop music is re-becoming, if it's not an English term, but whatever, interesting. Mm, so a nice project from a major company, because you know, some project you need budget to be able to record it the way you want to record it, or use musician, blah, blah, blah. A nice, you know, pop project with a pop group who have balls and want to try different things, coming from, you know, a label, would be interesting right now, but tomorrow can change. You know, tomorrow I can say, you know, I want to do a song with KRS-One, and we just rap on some beatbox with no instruments and nothing. So, but today, nice pop project. You know, we're not selling shoes, we're not selling spaghettis, we're selling emotions. So the thing is, really, first of all, we talk art, so A-R-T. Let's talk about what you want, what you get, what's your vision. After that, I will know how much time I need to complete the project. You know, project on 1 month is not something that I can complete in 3 or 4 days.
Would it be fair to say that if you found a project that you were really fired up to do, that you would be cutting that person or that independent artist a little slack financially?
Totally. Of course, yeah. It's how I work, and I think that a lot of people work nowadays. It happened to me too, because I work with some other people, and it happened to me recently for a mixing project, where the mix engineer liked the project so much that he really gave me a good price. So, you know, I'm totally in the same way of thinking. Nothing is, you see, carved in stone. What is the project? Where do you want to go? How much you get? And from there, we find African style. How much you get? I got that. We find a way to...
You've got a pretty extensive international network. You've got people all over the world, basically, that... Yeah. You know, musicians and people with resources that you're keeping in contact with.
Yeah, totally. Your family too, you know, friends. To do what was reserved to a certain type of people, elites, a couple of years ago, I would say anybody can record a decent album in his bedroom, depending on the music you're doing. Again, skills, it's kind of, level it up. You're like, now it's not the guy who's got the fastest car who's going to win the race all the time. It's, you know, everybody can have the same type of car. So it's more about your personal skills, involvement, and artistry. I'm talking about music, not pure music. It's a team collaborative effort. Just to have, you know, a project from the first note on a guitar, or the first lyrics on a piece of paper, to the final product, you at least get author, singer, a producer, a mix engineer and mastering engineer. It's 4 or 5 people involved just to have something that you can hear. But it's definitely a professional thing, an industry, so money has to be involved, because we're all, you know, grown-ups, we're not 16 anymore, living at mom's crib. So, you know, we got responsibility, bills, and so, you know, it's how to balance the whole thing, and have, you know, paper money involved in that thing, but do some interesting artistic project. If you come with a really tasteless project with no skills, we'll see how much you get. You have to have a lot of money for me to work on it.
Would you even work on a project like that? Say no.
No.
Well.
No. My thing right now is to involve more people listening to us or watching what we're doing.
Yep.
To say, listen, let's try to cut as much middlemen as we can. Not on the artistic and creative level, but on the money side. You see all this project with crowdfunding. In the hip-hop world, you got some hip-hop legends who came back and were able to make a new record just with their fan money. I mean, they say, okay, it's a deal. We're gonna give you, you know, exclusive songs. We can do meets and greets, go to the restaurant together. or, you know, go, you know, in a hookah bar, smoke a little something. So it's definitely, that's my thing right now, to see with people, responsibilize people. You can have everything for free. All my songs, you can, if you're a little bit savvy, you can grab them for free. At the end of the day, people listening or buying our stuff are our I cannot pronounce that.
Employers.
Employers, period. You know, fuck managers, fuck executive in a fuck record company at the end of the day. It's really about if we're able in the future, in the close future, I've said that in English, to have this type of deal. Say, listen, I'm talking in my way, you're going to crack $250 on a pair of Jordans, freaking sneakers. If you're not able to crack $10 of the music you like, that you bump in your car every day, something is wrong, you know what I mean? Just reconsider the whole way you... So I think there's some education to be made, but that's where I'm going to work. So come on my social networks and talk about that. You know, you can be down one morning and go to your work and say, shit, I don't see the... And listen to my music or watch a piece of dance movie, and that thing going to motivate you so much that you say, whoa, thanks, man, now I feel good. So it's really, that's what we do, we're working with emotions. I got people online, you know, honest people saying, yo, I love the song that you dropped months ago, but I don't really feel it. I said, oh, no problem. Catch me on the next one.
Yeah.
Or the next one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And but involve people who are listening to us.
And I like the idea of people seeing or hearing something, and it's like, it motivates them to say, like, you know, I might not have any money right now, but how can I help these guys? Maybe I'll just share it on my Facebook or whatever.
Totally, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Facebook is definitely evil. I just want to say that. But the point is that you know, something that you can do, even if you don't have any money right now, to just help the thing move forward. Because the bottom line is that there isn't really, in my mind, a divide anymore between regular people and artists. Everybody now has the opportunity to create something and put it out there. And now the real question is that work inspiring other people? And then the support flows in. I mean, I'm a freaking genius, and so is Anton. There's no question about it. But
definitely.
But I don't think I'm the only genius on the block, and I think everybody has the potential to realize this power that they have, and everybody should. That might be the future we're heading towards. So what is it? We're all watching each other's stuff? Yes. Yes, of course we are. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that rises to the top is the stuff that moves us all forward. So, I mean, what is going to move us forward is a planetary presence, and that's the stuff that gets the support that the attention flows to.
You point your finger on an important thing. If you don't have no money to crack, and you know, I'm come from Central Africa, life is hard, and even people working, you know, cannot get by. So when something drops on the internet, whatever, a song, a video, whatever, yeah, if you can just send that to 10 friends, just hit 10 friends, so like, comment, just good comment. Oh, that's full of shit. Oh, I really like that. Damn, how are you doing that? Because sometimes, you know, I'm doing so much different thing that I got people who think they cannot comment on my stuff, you know, they say, yo, I'm a 60 years old white rocker, and you got some kids, you know, talking about rap on you, and I say, yeah, come, go ahead, you know.
Yes.
I can have a grandma, you know, from Poland who barely speak English or whatever. So, yo, it's really open now. Where we used to be, now I'm listening to rock, I'm a rock dude, I'm a rap dude. 2017, to put a stamp on it, time stamp on it, if you don't have no money, just spread the word. Go on everywhere you go, and even in the street. Yo, I'm listening to, what is his name? A complicated name from Africa, but it's starting with an N and a D. Oh, go check it out. Spreading the word is definitely useful for us. And it's a nice way of not involving money, but supporting people.
And you know, it's coming to me now, the more I think about this, is if you've got a hunger to sing or dance or make movies just do it.
Just freaking do it. That's true, yeah.
The more we actually live who we are, I think, just the better off everybody is.
I see a lot of cats who say, you know, yeah, you know, I'm too old to start playing guitar, or you know, always doing some little collage, and you don't want to put that on Instagram. Oh, man, he's gonna laugh, and you know, I'm not an artist. The boundary, the limit between, you know, official artists and creators and non-official is kind of blurry right now. Just on a simple human, everyday human being level. If you got a job that you don't like, if life, you know, beating your ass up. Art is the ultimate way just to breathe. Yeah, go do something. And don't be afraid. You don't have to go in the fucking street and play the guitar. If you don't want to, in the subway, you don't have to even share it if you don't want to share it. It's just do the therapeutical stuff, you know. it's good. It's, yeah, to me, to this day, music is therapy. You know, heal me. So, and I think for most of the people, and express yourself. So it's always good for the health, better than pills and Advil. I mean, you know, write a little rap, wrap it in front of your mirror. And say, yeah, fuck the system, man. And, you know, release the, yeah, and you're going to go to sleep real, real good. So, yeah, make art and share it if you want. But, yeah, use art as a canal to help you live better.
I think that there's something to be said about leaving things just the way they are because they're good enough. 80%, you know, it's like you get to 80% of good and then the last 20% might take you 10 years. And certainly this movie's been going on for 12, so we don't really need to. But there, it is intriguing to think about re-recording the songs and having you reproduce them.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm actually pretty happy with what we've got and we might just, you know, just stick with that.
Get me and my name, and same on my t-shirt, Noise Singer.
Well, can I buy one of those?
Of course, definitely. They're on sale on my website. Yeah, if it's there, you're still filming right now. Cool.
I think I'm the only genius on the block, and I think everybody has the potential to realize this power that they have, and everybody should. That might be the future we're heading towards. Okay, hang on, I'm going to do my hair now.
Yeah,
it takes me a long time to get ready.